But yeah, this is, we like to celebrate our church anniversary. It was actually the 17th of May, 1998, and so we like to celebrate that every year and to have a look back, but also a look forward. And it is, this church really is a supernatural church, and some of the things that we shared in that video, but even more of how God started this church. But if you've been here for any length of time, every step of the way has been supernatural. And God gave this incredible vision into the hands of human beings like us, you and me. And we have a responsibility to steward that for this generation. And you and I won't be here forever. And there'll be another generation and generations that will come after us that will have to keep stewarding this vision. And isn't it cool we have too much land that we can dream and that we can keep building and doing things, and that God can keep touching lives. So God has been faithful. And really the greatest thing that God has done through Miracle Life is that he has saved lives. He has saved people, and he has turned situations around, and even people that perhaps that maybe came as that were broken or whole, and those families that were just shattered. And so your life might not be perfect today, but just stick around, because this is a healing place. And this is a place where God puts lives back together, where young people and youth and people that, you know, we talked a few weeks ago that folks that meet at Powerhouse Youth got married 2 weeks ago. So stick around. What was it? What we're gonna punish singleness or something? I saw something on the internet the other day. It's kind of funny. What is it? Crucify singleness. Actually, Paul said it's pretty. He said he wished everybody was like him. So maybe you don't have to crucify it. All right. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But God is building lives at Miracle Life Family Church. And so God has a mission, and God has things that he is doing on planet Earth. He has a mission, and he partners with us to do his mission. So his mission becomes our mission. Now, many of you know, if you just kind of talk to anybody at an airport or on the street or in the bus or something like that, everybody's going to do something, all right? And they're busy doing something. And our lives have significance is when we accept the mission that God has for us. And while that may be very specific for you, and he may put you in the marketplace, he may put you in education or in politics, he may put you in full-time ministry, whatever that looks like, and it's specific for you, but there's an overall mission that we all do. There's something that we are all cooperating with God together, and that is building the lives of other people. 1 Corinthians 3:8 says, "The man who plants and the man who waters have one purpose, and each one will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building." So we see things that we are God's construction site, but we are also God's partners. You know, a lot of places in Lusaka are building. There's some places around church that have been building. And when we come to work, usually it's about 6, 15, something like that, we see guys dressed in blue and they've got on a hard hat and they're going to a construction site. And they are, and they usually have the name of the company that they're working for. And so they're going someplace and they're building something. And after a period of time, we see these big buildings that are finished, and God is doing something supernatural in Lusaka, Zambia, and he's building lives. He's doing it, but guess what? We're his fellow workers. He cannot, he will not do it without us. Because today was kind of chock-a-block full, we'll give you the report next week, but we had a board meeting yesterday, and we went over a lot of different things and numbers, and all of the money that happens at Miracle Life happens through us. Doesn't come from the UN, doesn't come through USAID, doesn't come through Germany or China or Japan. It happens right here. We are partnering with God. all of the activities that happen around here and the tons and tons of things that are taking place. In fact, right now, I think, was it 12, 13 people from Miracle Life are in Nairobi, Kenya right now. Probably two-thirds of them are preaching in churches. Pastor William, Nigel, Mafia, a bunch of folks from Miracle Life, Kondwani, and they're going to be helping Rhema Nairobi launch their campus this week. I'm going to join them on Tuesday. And so Miracle Life is doing amazing things here and all over the world. And God has a heart. And we've, my wife and I have kind of settled in our heart of what we know that God has called us to and the passion that's on the inside of us. And Paul made mention of this in a couple of places, as did the Apostle John. I just want to share these verses with you quickly. 1 Corinthians 4:14. This is from the Message Bible. It says, "I love you and I want you to grow up well, not spoiled. There are a lot of people around who can't wait to tell you what you've done wrong, but there aren't many fathers willing to take the time and effort to help you grow up." And that's our heart. John put it this way, when that happens, that's the satisfaction. 3 John 3 and 4, it says, "It gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell me about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue," everybody say continue, "continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children are walking in the truth." Galatians 4:19, "Oh, my dear children, I feel like I'm going through labor pains for you again, and they will continue until Christ is fully developed in your life." How many know that doesn't just happen at water baptism class? All right. It's a process. It's a time period. It's called discipleship. It's called growing up. It's part of that middle part of our mission statement, maturing believers. And when that happens, God is so thrilled. And that's what thrills our hearts. And that's what keeps us going every day. And that's why Miracle Life exists. And we want to kind of refresh and relook at what God has called us to do as a church. You know, Miracle Life, and I've said this before, that I'm so glad the Newberrys put miracle in the name of the church, because we're going to need a whole lot of them to get to the end of what God has for us. And in fact, just for us to grow up is a miracle, isn't it? All right, for some of us to change is a miracle. But aren't you glad He's a miracle working God? And the reason why Miracle Life exists is to do that work on the earth. And there's kind of a misunderstanding, I think, today in some of the body of Christ is why God gives us pastors or apostles, evangelists, prophets, the fivefold ministry. And there's kind of this mentality, kind of it's an Old Testament mentality, that if I want to get anything from God, I've got to go through the man of God, or the woman of God, or the prophetess of God, okay? And they have a function, but the Bible tells us what their function is. How many of you know in life it's not really good when someone goes beyond their function? Okay, so aren't you glad we have police in this nation? And I'm so glad, and I'll be honest, I in my 13 years of being in Zambia, my experiences with police have been very good, all right? And if yours haven't, then I'm sorry about that. You know, sometimes if they want to find me, you know, I make sure that they give me a receipt, you know. Leave it right there, all right? So, but here's the thing. So they have a job, and they understand what their job, but it's not good if a policeman decides, okay, I'm going to be the policeman, and I'm going to be the judge, and I'm going to be the executioner, okay, because there's other people that do that job, right? And so the fivefold ministry, turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and this happens within the context of a local church. And so in coming in context with the ministry of a local church, this is what God wants to have happen. Ephesians 4:11, "Now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do His work." To equip God's people to do His work. See, we have the idea that the fivefold ministry are to do God's work. All right? And we just, isn't that what the tithe is for? You know, Pastor, we pay you. All right? And you go get my anointing. And you get my healing. And, you know, there's not enough miracles happening at Miracle Life. Well, you go do them. We equip you. And that's why we preached on and different ones. And Pastor Benjamin, Pastor Wynn, we talked about the gifts of the Spirit this year. Why? Because you do them. The Holy Spirit is poured out on who? His sons and his daughters, his handmaidens. Right? Everybody that Spirit is poured out on. And when you look at the book of Acts and the New Testament and the ministry of Jesus, most of the miracles didn't happen in church. They happened in the marketplace. They happened in a crowd. All right? And they're done by believers. All right? So at church and coming into context with these gifts, it's to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church of the body of Christ. Every now and then, not often, because people at Miracle Life are so mature. Hallelujah. But every now and then, you know, a comment will come back to me and somebody's upset because I wasn't the one to go to the hospital to see them. All right. Or, you know, my wife and I didn't go to the funeral house. That's not our job. That's not our job. We're not parish priests. We're equippers. We're coaches. Okay, we'll pick that up next week. Some of you don't believe that. All right. Equip God's people to do the work. Equip God's people to do the work. Amen. I could just tell you, there's about 100 people at Miracle Life that you, if you do have a bereavement in your family, you would be so much more blessed to have them than me. There's more anointing on them than it's on me. All right? Well, but Pastor Kane, no, see, that's called pride, ego. I'm important enough for the senior pastors to come. Hallelujah. You guys, this was supposed to be anniversary. You're making me preach on this other stuff. Okay. Verse 13. Sorry. Equip God's people to do the work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity of in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we won't be like immature little children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Whoa. That wasn't written in 2017, but certainly applies to 2017, doesn't it? Instead, we'll speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Aren't you glad he's the head? He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work. Everybody say work. Tell your neighbor, there's work to do. It helps the other parts grow. It helps the other parts grow. Now notice by verse 16, we're not even talking about prophets anymore or pastors anymore. It's every part. Every part of the body of Christ, as they are doing their work. Now who's helping them do their work? Well, the fivefold ministry is equipping them, all right? But they're doing their work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So if you're not doing your part, somebody else is not growing. All right, and you're cheating someone. And so a number of years ago, we kind of reformatted and kind of thought and tried to re-articulate what it is that we believe God has called Miracle Life to do. And we said three things, three action words, verbs. We share Christ, we, mature believers, and change the world. And so these are things that we really didn't dream up. They are things that come from the pages of Scripture. They are what God has called the local church to do. And we just set them in a way that helps remind us that we have something to do. And I want to just briefly mention these today as we're celebrating 19 years. Obviously, 20 years is going to be a big one. We're going to have a big blowout next year. But we can forget why we do what we do. And there are churches, and I grew up in one, where we kind of just go through the religious motions, all right? And sometimes we call those traditional churches. Well, now that charismatics have been around long enough, Pentecostals have been around long enough, we get our own traditions. We go through our own motions, okay? And sometimes we do things just to do them, all right? A great example that I heard of was a lady evangelist, and she was praying for the sick. And so there was a guy that had come up for healing, and you could kind of get the idea that this was very new to him, all right? So he was kind of just looking around like, you know, he was in the Taj Mahal or Dubai or something for the first time. And so, you know, she's praying for people, and people are falling down under the power of God. And so he's looking at all that, what's happening, and she comes to him and lays hands on him. And he just kind of receives the healing. And he noticed all these other people falling down. He looks right, looks left. So he just falls down himself, you know. So we can't just really point at other churches and say, those traditional churches. No, we can have our own traditions. Now, here's a good thing. If a tradition is rooted in the Bible, let's keep it. All right, because that's a really good tradition, and it can be inbred into our culture, all right? But three things: sharing Christ, maturing believers, changing the world. So we share Christ. Now, why do we do that? And really the bottom line is because people are valuable. The price that Jesus paid was his own blood, and the price that someone pays shows the value that it is worth, okay? And there are certain objects or things that we buy, or a t-shirt, and it's really not that big of a deal if we lose it, because the price was not that big, all right? But when something has a high price attached to it, it shows the value. People are valuable to God. Matthew 9, verse 9, it says, Jesus passed on from there, and he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he arose and followed him. Now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house, and behold, many tax collectors and sinners came down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" I mean, because they're in a different group of people, all right? Now, it is kind of interesting, in those days, you wouldn't insult a sinner by including tax collectors in the group called sinners. Tax collectors got their own special grouping, all right, because they were sellouts. They were Jews, but they were now working for the Romans against their own people, all right? When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, it's interesting to note that the Pharisees never came back and said, "We figured it out." All right. They were so indoctrinated about there's us and them. And we are the holy and they are the unclean. All right. And one of the things that this church must always, always do, corporately, but also us as individuals, is we must reach people far from God. We must touch their lives. Amen? And we can't be so busy in our church stuff that we forget that there are people that are broken and hurting. And they're around us every day. And if the Bible says, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those who are lost. And so we have to shine and we have to show forth. You know, if you have a note in your billfold or in your purse, if you have a Quatcha note, and it could, and you've probably seen some, especially kind of the old currency, like the old currency. You remember, and it would just kind of Well, it just absorbed a lot of stuff, especially the old 500 notes, remember? You just want to wash your hands after you know. And so, but it could be dirty, it could be torn, but because of who printed it, it never loses its value. It might actually stink, right? And see, there are people, because of sin, because of brokenness, because of decisions they've made or things that have happened to them, and they may come in contact with us, they may come in contact with this church, and their lives are a mess. But they've never lost their value to God. They're valuable and precious enough for Jesus to give his blood. And that's when Jesus came, he had time for everybody. He had time for the Pharisees because they were valuable to God. But he also had time for those who were forgotten. He had time for a Samaritan woman. And his own disciples said, Why would you talk to her? Because she's valuable. And so our mission is to share Christ. And so we will always get people saved. We will always reach out. And I want to, and sometimes we say, well, what is the church? Well, you are the church, right? You are the church. And the people that you come in contact with share the hope that lies within you. Be bold to step out and say, hey, I'll pray for you. Hey, let me share this with you. Let me invite you to the art of marriage. I know you've been talking to me about how your marriage is messed up, and that's not just for church folk. Invite people and let it be a window of love into their lives and hope that can give them a new family. Amen? So we share Christ with who? With everybody. All right? But we also, in this process, when we get born again and other people get born again and we come into the kingdom of God, that is not the end of God's process in our life. It is the beginning. And so we grow in Christ and we grow in maturity and we grow into the things of God. There's another word is sanctification. That which has happened on the inside works itself into the outside. Okay? This is one of the reasons why, and sometimes people ask it at a membership class, why we don't have a dress code at Miracle Life. Okay? Because you come as you are. Come as you are. Now, here's the deal. You don't stay as you are. You don't stay as you are. There are many, many Sundays where people come and give their hearts to Jesus. And if we had a dress code, they would have never made it to the front. All right? And so we certainly don't advocate nightclub dressing. Amen? I mean, I think you see the way our leaders conduct themselves and people are on stage. And so we want to be an example in that. But you know what? When you throw out the net, any old fish can jump in. All right? But what happens in the church is we give our hearts to Jesus, but now we need to get hooked up with the people of God and the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but there's probably a whole lot more in our life that needs to be changed than just the length of our skirt. All right. Now that may need to change as well. Hallelujah. All right. Romans 8:29, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined, what? To be conformed to the image of his son. So when we are born again, there is a predetermined finish line. There is a predestination where we are going. And what is it? It is to be conformed to the image of Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This was Paul's passion. This is what drove him. This is what caused him to go back to churches and to write back to churches. And yes, things got started. And this church was born from idol worshipers. But he wasn't content with just stopping there. He wanted to see other things happen in their life for them to grow. Colossians 1:28, him we preach, Jesus, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Some of you know that word is teleos, meaning fully grown. So when a mango seed is planted, in that seed is its destination. In that seed is its full maturity, where it becomes as big as it's going to get, where it produces fruit, where it becomes what it was meant to be. And so thank God when people are born again and they start off on the things of God. But you know what? That's not the end. There's a place. There's a destination. It's to be like Jesus. And through Miracle Life, God wants us all to find our purpose in life. But how many of you know 3-year-olds don't go to the moon? 3-year-olds don't build buildings. Okay, we have to grow up to do the things that God has for us to do. Tell your neighbor, grow up. If that was your spouse, that felt so good. Hallelujah. John 15, verse 7 and 8. If, and here's an if, all right, that means that it might not happen. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified. So how does God show up? How has he demonstrated that you bear much fruit? So you will be my disciples. God has a plan for you to max out the fruitfulness of your life. And that's part of the mission. It's part of the destiny of Miracle Life. And you have a part of it. And so when you serve, when you engage in a connection group, when you open up your home, when you say, hey, I'll lead a group, or our group is growing and I'll take some of these and we'll start another one. You know what you're doing? You're helping someone else reach their potential, that they can bear much fruit. How many of you know our world needs a lot of fruit? We need Christians to show up and to light up and to be the church more than ever before. All right? So this is happening in our lives. So as we are sharing Jesus and our family is getting bigger, as we are becoming more like Jesus and helping other people to do that, our family is becoming stronger, then something is going to happen in the world that we live in. Matthew chapter 5. We change the world that we are in. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. For you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Your life is to be seen. You are a city on a hill. You are to be a display of what God is doing on planet Earth. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us are going to preach on worldwide TV. You know what this means? It means that when you do business with someone, it means that when you engage with them commercially, you don't need to put a fish on your business card. Why? Because the work that you do reeks and smells of Jesus. Hallelujah. And really, some Christian business people I know, they should replace the fish with a shark. Okay? Because there's not much Christian about the way they do business. All right? Hallelujah. And so the way that we conduct our marriage, the way that we raise our kids, people should stop you at your children's school and ask you, what's with your kids? Not because, you know, they've got 10 piercings and they're crazy, because there's something different about them. Oh, you see, I pour into my kids. And they've been in Miracle Kids for 8 years, and then they were at Impact for another 7 years. Well, did they want to go? Oh, no. See, at our family, we don't ask our kids if they want to go to church. This is not a democracy. There's no voting in my family. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, my kids don't really want to go. What'd you say? Am I feeding you? Did I put a roof over your head? Amen. Be a mom. Be a dad. Step up. Amen. Be the light of the world. Shine for Jesus. All right. Let your bling be about Him. Hallelujah. Hashtag, they think of Jesus. So others taste of God's goodness. Other people taste of His holiness, of His nature, because you show up. All right? So Jesus used two examples, salt and light. How many know when salt goes onto food, everything changes? All right? In fact, some food that doesn't even taste nice, all of a sudden it becomes nice. Amen? I don't need to preach to Zambians about salt. I've been to a lot of meals with you. All right. When light comes on, everything is seen. All right? And more, I think in 2017, how many know, and the Bible told us this, that the darkness of the world is getting darker. Oh my goodness, is it getting darker? Amen. And we don't have any, we really can't stop what's happening in the world. But you know what we can do? We can turn on our light. We can become brighter. And the Bible promises where sin abounds, so much more does the grace of God abound. And may it be said of this church, Miracle Life in Lusaka, that great grace was upon this church. Great grace. And so as things get tougher, as things get more difficult in the world, all right, we will shine brighter for Jesus. Amen? And so we have a great commission. We are to show forth Him. And let me close with this. 1 Corinthians 6:20. 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And honestly, in this context of 1 Corinthians 6, when it was talking about glorifying God in your body, it's talking about the sexual area of your life. Amen? Because that's a part of who we are. And we glorify and we shine for Jesus in every area of our life. Nothing is excluded. We shine and we make a difference and we change the world. There's a couple I know in this church that their family, they are one of the few born-again people in their family. And it's a huge family. All right, it's actually the 73rd tribe of Zambia. Okay. Their family is probably is bigger than some of like 71 and 72, right? I mean, come on, some of us don't even know what 71 and 72, some of those smaller ones. But anyway, they go to these family functions, and especially the husband is here at Miracle Life, and they got married here, and they've got beautiful kids. They glorify God in their jobs. But people come to him. I guess they've been married 12, 13 years, something like that. They come to him and they say, hey, why don't you cheat on your wife? Why don't you have a spare tire? And after six years, they were saying, how have you done it for six long years? You know what that is? That's being a light. That's shining. Oh, that's greater than any Christian TV program. Because nobody in that family is going to turn on Christian TV. But you know what they do? They go to Christmas with that family from Miracle Life. And they get to see. And they get to be invaded by God's love. And invaded with the holiness of God. And they can see someone that is living differently. And they think, what in the world is that? Wow, that is amazing. Let me ask you. And see, there's only one reason, isn't there? It's Jesus. Jesus Christ has made a difference in our life. And so as we go forth for the next 19 years, some of us will be here for the next 19, some of us won't, all right? Hallelujah. Now don't go to heaven on us, all right? But you might be somewhere other part of the world or have a different assignment. But we will continue to share Jesus Christ with a world that needs to hear him and know about him. We will continue to mature believers. And that's two different groups. Me and then the believers that I help that are around me at Miracle Life. And when we do that, we are going to shake the world that we live in. Amen. And may it be said of Miracle Life 19 years from now, that church made a difference in Zambia. The people of that church influenced and touched and lifted and helped and made a difference in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's pray. Father, Lord, you've given us a really big mission, and it is something that it seems too big and too hard and too grandiose, God. And so that means we need your help. We need your help to do it. And so, Father, help us to share Jesus more clearly, more accurately, more creatively. Father, connect us with broken people. Open doors all around us for us to share Jesus. Father, may you continue your sanctifying work, your maturing process in our life as we become more and more like Jesus, as we put on the new man and we put on holiness. And Father, and sins and doubts, habits fall off. And Father, as we do, that the world that we live in is radically, radically changed, influenced by us. Father, I ask you that you will make more clear, Father, to those in this room where you are sending them to, God. Father, that they don't just show up, but they go on purpose. Father, they don't just go to a job to do some work and to collect a paycheck, but they go on assignment from heaven to do your will. Father, they don't just have kids because it's the thing to do and they want to keep their family name going. But Father, they raise children on purpose to glorify you. Father, they don't just get married to be happy, but to show forth the mystery of how you love us and the connection that you have with your church. Father, thank you that you send us. Lord, you send us sometimes, Lord, it seems like into a very dangerous situation, into a very precarious place, God. Maybe it seems like we're the only one there shining. But Father, thank you for grace, for help, for strength. Father, may we be like Daniel, that even if we're forbidden, even if it comes at a cost, we will not compromise our relationship with you. And Father, you'll shut the mouths of the lions and you'll protect us and we'll do our will and we'll come out of the fire and we'll come through the furnace, God. And we won't even smell of smoke. And we won't bow. And we won't burn. Father, help us to be these types of men and women, God, in our world. Father, it seems like we need more of them. May we take and be those people, God. Raise us up like never before. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed. I really believe there are Christians here, believers. God's got you on assignment. Might not even be a new assignment. It might be right where you are today. But you need to go tomorrow with a different mindset. I'm representing Jesus in this place. I'm representing Jesus in my family. Representing Jesus to my spouse. And there'll be a new anointing. There'll be a new strength to do it. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm not a part of the family of God. I'm not a part of this family. I've never been connected to him. Maybe you are like me, grew up religious, but never made a decision for Jesus. Maybe you didn't grow up religious. Maybe you've grown up with a lot of habits and sin and brokenness. things that you're ashamed of. Oh, Jesus says, come, come. He'll wash, he'll cleanse you, he'll make you a brand new person. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you can know him today. You're one decision away from a brand new life. If you're a Christian that's far from God and you're backslidden and you know your life is not okay, there have been a lot of decisions against God. Friend, the good news is God allows you to come home. And just like the prodigal son, he'll throw you a party. He'll restore you. He'll make everything okay again. But you do have to come home. You do have to make a decision to leave the pig food and come home to Jesus. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I need to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I need to come home from a place of rebellion. Wherever you are, simply lift up your hand and say, that's me. Today's my day. I'm ready to bow at the foot of the cross to make Jesus Christ my Lord and Savior. Where are you? We're going to pray today. Jesus is going to become your Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't want to miss anybody. If that's you, just slip it up real high. Wave it at me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good Lord. He's a good God. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thanks for raising that hand. Maybe you're wrestling with this decision. Just go ahead and say yes. Man, I tell you, I waited too long. Too many wasted years. Just go ahead and say yes today. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you there in the back. Thank you. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. You lifted up your hand and you say, that's me, Pastor. I need to give my heart to Jesus Christ. I need to come home. Grab your Bible, whatever you brought with to church, and just come and meet me up front. Just be bold. Step out of your old life. Step into a brand new life. Thank you, sir. Oh, man, I'm so glad. So glad you made this decision. You can just face it. We're going to thank you for making that decision. Somebody else? I think there was somebody over here. Yeah, just come. Just come. Thank you, sir. God bless you so much. Now, the Bible says that he will hear you, that he'll answer you. And so we want to let you go with some folks and Francis right here. We're going to pray a prayer with you. It's going to come from your heart. And God is going to do exactly what he said. He's going to save you. He's going to forgive you. He's going to make you into a brand new man. And we want to help you take some great steps with Jesus. If you would just follow Francis right now to this place of prayer. Thank you so much for saying yes to Jesus. Amen.